This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Brother Christian DeSalvio and is entitled, The Marks of a Disciple.
So there's no particular text this morning. We're going to be kind of jumping around. So if you have your Bibles, get your fingers nimbled up. I wanted to talk this morning about the marks of a disciple. The marks of a disciple. For us as Christians, we constantly want to be looking into God's Word as to learn ways that we can become more like the Lord. And of course, our ultimate example is Jesus Christ. Our life's goal is to become as closely aligned with how He thought and how He spoke and how He acted as we possibly can, right? But the Lord gives us a lot of examples to try to emulate. And what came to my mind this week was the lives of the disciples. And they are certainly men that we can learn from. And we can learn from a lot of people, not just the disciples that we're going to talk about today. There's people in your lives that are godly people that have mentored you, that have loved you, that have lovingly corrected you or encouraged you. And those are certainly people God wants us to learn from. But this morning, we're going to focus on just four things that the Bible says are marks of disciples. These are the 12 men that were kind of like the first church. They were people that Jesus approached, and He said, come and follow me, and they did. And what I want to go over today is four things that were marks of those people. And I want to ask ourselves the question this morning, are they also marks about ourselves? Are these four marks of the disciples, can people say they're also marks about us? The four marks that we're going to talk about today of a disciple is first, the disciples were interested in spiritual things. The disciples were interested in spiritual things. The second mark that we're going to be looking at today is, they responded, the disciples responded to Jesus. They weren't just interested in spiritual things, but they responded to Jesus. The third mark is, guess what? They were imperfect people, just like you and just like me. And then the fourth mark of these disciples that we're going to talk about today is, they were known by their love. Love defined them. So the first mark we're talking about is spiritual things. The disciples were interested in spiritual things. The first scripture we're going to look at today is John chapter 1, verse 37. John chapter 1, verse 37. John 1, 37. John chapter 1, verse 37 just says, and the two disciples heard Him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now this was Andrew and Simon Peter. And we know Jesus had started His ministry at this point in the New Testament. And He is speaking in public. And Andrew and Simon Peter heard Jesus. And guess what? They were curious. They were curious about the things that Jesus had to say. And the Bible says that they followed after Him. They wanted to check Him out. They wanted to hear more about what He had to say. You and I have a choice to make about spiritual things. We have a choice to make about how interested or disinterested we're going to be. There's a lot of pressure in our culture today to be uninterested in the things, especially that Jesus talks about and the things that Jesus calls us to. Not necessarily be uninterested about all spiritual things. When I look at the TV guide today and see all the shows that are out there, a lot of them are spiritual. But they're not necessarily the kind of spiritual things that we want to be involved in. I think there's a lot of dark shows on TV and on cable today. And I mean, you just look at it, it's either a zombie movie or a movie about the occult or a movie about folks that have psychological issues, which people have psychological issues, but do we want to kind of glorify that and make a whole show about it and almost like all the strange things that they're involved in say are kind of the standard and something that's good? I'm not sure. But these two men heard Jesus speak and they followed him. They were seriously interested in spiritual things. Turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, we're going to read verses 29 and 31. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verses 29 and 31. Excuse me, 29 through 31. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. This reminded me of like Bible study. Jesus was having Bible study and it was an open forum. He was sitting with his disciples and he was teaching them and it was in a place where it was conversational. And I know Bible study for you guys is kind of in a round table and you have a chance to interact with whoever the teacher is, whether it's Pastor Bob or somebody else. And I just see people in Scripture, I see these disciples as being interested in spiritual things to the point of being involved and engaged and asking questions and kind of having a give and take with Jesus. And I would encourage you, as you're interested in spiritual things, make sure that you are asking questions or, you know, bouncing things off of your mentor, somebody that you really trust that knows Scripture, your pastor. You know, asking questions is a sign of interest. When you're involved in a relationship, if that person's the only one asking questions of you and you're kind of the only one talking about how your life is doing and what's going on in your life, that's kind of a one-sided relationship, right? It's kind of a nice thing to be able to ask that other person, hey, what's going on in your life? Hey, what are you struggling with right now? Hey, what do you think about this or that? And that's the kind of relationship that Jesus had with his disciples. It was a two-way street. He taught them, but he also listened to the questions that they had, and maybe he altered what he was talking or spent a little bit more time talking about a particular topic. Because Jesus loves it when we're interested in spiritual things, in the things that he wants to share with us. Matthew 6:21, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it real quick. Matthew 6:21 says, For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And as we talk about this first mark of the disciples, that they were interested in spiritual things, I want to ask you and myself a question. Where is our spiritual treasure? What spiritual treasure do we have? You see, the treasure that we have exposes our heart. If somebody was going to try to convict you of being interested in spiritual things, would there be enough evidence to do it? Would there be enough evidence to convict me of, yeah, that Chris DeSalvio, he's interested in spiritual things, because there are things that we can point to in his life. I hope so. I hope that's the case for us. That we're interested to the point where there's spiritual treasure stored up for us. What percentage of our time is spent around the pursuit of spiritual things? Is this it on a Sunday morning? Or is there more of an investment by me and by you throughout the week in spiritual things? Is it about making a showing here? Is it about coming to church to be fed? You know, church is kind of a social place where we come to get our batteries recharged and we come to connect with the people that we love and care about and to find out how you're doing and to talk about how I'm doing. But this isn't the main place where we get all of our spiritual interest and our spirits fed, right? That happens really, for the most part, outside of here. So I need to challenge myself about how much I'm in my Word, God's Word, throughout the week. What percentage of our time is spent around the pursuit of spiritual things? The first mark of a disciple is they were interested in spiritual things. The second mark of a disciple was They responded to Jesus. You know, the scripture says that the demons know scripture and they tremble. So the demons are interested in spiritual things. Satan knows scripture better than I ever will. And yet they didn't respond, demons and Satan, they don't respond to Christ the way Christ is calling all of us to respond. So you can be interested in spiritual things, but there's a crossover that has to happen. There's something else that has to go beyond mere interest. It's a response. It's a response to Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, if you want to turn there, Matthew chapter 4, we're going to read verses 17 to 22. Matthew chapter 4, we're going to read verses 17 to 22. There were four disciples mentioned here. The first two we talked about already, Andrew and Simon Peter. These are men that had been checking Jesus out earlier in Scripture. They were finding out more about him because they were interested in spiritual things. They were interested in what he had to say. And then here in Matthew, they have an experience with Jesus that's different. He's not just speaking to the masses, he's speaking to them. And you know this scripture passage, it's very familiar. He says, "Come and follow me." And what did they do? They followed him. Now, I don't know all of what that means. Did they completely leave their work as fishermen? I think they did. I think they kind of left their work and they just went and they responded to Jesus in the sense that whatever he was about to call them to do, that's what they were going to be about. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that in every case when Jesus calls you to follow him, that he's going to say, you know, leave your work, that he's going to upend your world, he's going to say, sell your house. Jesus doesn't do that all the time. But the illustration here in this passage is so powerful. It's so amazing to me that, you know, times change, and obviously times were different than they are now. They didn't have their smartphones back then while they were mending their nets. Everybody didn't have their face in their iPad, or they weren't on the internet. But guess what? Things were so much more similar back then to today than we give time credit for. These people were busy. They were working. Some of them had families. There were pressures. Believe it or not, there was stress in the New Testament. There was stress in the Old Testament. So many of the things that we face today, they haven't changed since back then. There's a lot more common ground than I think we give it credit for. And so in the midst of all this, these four men, Jesus said, "Come." And they transitioned from being interested in spiritual things to responding to Jesus Christ in a real, meaningful, significant way. Let's turn to Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 14, we're going to read to 21. Another example of a very practical way that the disciples responded to Jesus. Jesus is healing people and speaking to them. There's a whole bunch of them. The disciples say, "Hey, they're hungry. Maybe you should send them out so they can feed themselves." And Jesus said, "We got that covered right here." Now, the disciples knew that they didn't have enough food to feed this number of people. At Amwell, that's never a problem. There's always enough food here to eat. And the theme hymn, whenever I talk about Amwell, is "Still Till We Meet Again," not "Till We Meet Again." There's always good food at Amwell. But these folks were in a little bit of a bind. Jesus says, "We're going to feed them." What was going through their minds, these disciples? Not sure. The scripture doesn't say. But I do know how they responded. Even though they were probably asking themselves, "I don't quite get how this is going to work out. What was it? We've got five fish and two loaves of bread." But Matthew 14, verse 19, toward the end of that verse, after Jesus gives the loaves and the fish to the disciples, it says, "And the disciples basically gave it to the multitude." They started passing out what they had available to them. They didn't know how it was going to make it through the entire crowd. But they stepped out in faith. And their response was, "I'm going to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to believe he's going to work it out. Because there's no way that I can. So when I get to that person and the basket's empty and they put their hand in there, there's nothing there, maybe they were already thinking about their apology. Sorry, we've run out. There's a lot of people here. We didn't really have enough. I don't know what they were thinking, but I saw how they responded. And what an amazing response it is. So when you think about that kind of response by the disciples, that these men were marked by not just being interested in spiritual things, but responding to Jesus, how are you and I responding to Jesus? Has he called you lately to try to feed 5,000 people with 5 fish and 2 loaves? Maybe you have a big family. Maybe he has. Probably not. I would submit to you and me that he calls us most times to respond to things that are less improbable to be able to happen, less miraculous. Maybe he's calling us to just share a word with somebody that you know. Maybe there's somebody at work and you're the only Christian in your organization and this person is hurting. And whether they think this way or not right now, they need Jesus. They need to hear a promise that he has for them. He needs to know, or she needs to know, that Jesus wants them to accept him as their Savior. Can you speak out? Are you willing to stretch yourself and respond to Christ far enough to say a word? And you know what's going on in your life right now. You know what God may be calling you to respond to. Personal devotions, prayer time, praise and worship, Wednesday night Bible study, some type of service. Are you actively involved in service? God doesn't want to busy your life with too much stuff. You don't need 10 things going on in your life that you can't really be effective in any of them, but you're just constantly at church. God doesn't call us to that. He calls us to serve in some way that's targeting your gifts and your skills and your ability. Are you doing that right now? Are you using your spiritual gifts? So these disciples were marked by being interested in spiritual things, by responding to Jesus. And here's maybe one of my favorite ones, because I can relate. They were marked by being imperfect people like me and you. Sometimes we read Scripture and we think about our faith heroes and we put them on a pedestal. And Jesus is the only one that should ever be on a pedestal in our hearts and minds. But you know, Paul's the greatest Christian, right? We talk about that. And these disciples, wow, they were with Jesus. And that's cool. And that's awesome. But they were imperfect people, just like me and you. And that's kind of an encouragement to me. Sometimes they were confused. Have you ever been confused by spiritual things? Have you ever been confused by something that you read in Scripture or something that God's calling you to? Well, you're not alone. They were too. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we're going to read 5 to 9. These guys are hanging out with Jesus under his teaching. And I don't know about you, but for the fundamentals of our faith, these are some pretty basic doctrines. That Jesus is the Christ. That his Father is God the Heavenly Father. That Jesus is the only way to get to God. Right? These disciples, at this point in their lives, they were a little bit confused. They were asking Jesus, how can we know the way? How can we find the way? And Jesus had to be really explicit. And Jesus was a little surprised, I think, by some of his responses. Right? Because, again, I think it was some stuff that was basic. So guess what? If you've got to ask questions, if you're confused at times, welcome to the club. It's no big deal. It's okay. God understands. He'll have a conversation with you. There's Scripture that says, come, let us reason together. God says, I know that you're going to have questions. I know that you're imperfect. I want to talk with you about it. It's okay. Jesus and God were the first ones to say, there is no such thing as a dumb question. There isn't a dumb question. Just ask me your questions and we'll talk about it. Let's turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. We're going to read 31 to 34. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 34. A very familiar passage to us, right? Peter is getting ready to deny Jesus. And you say, how could that be possible after all things that Peter saw and heard and experienced with Christ? And even Peter himself is saying, I'm with you, Lord. I'm in your camp. I'll never deny you. No matter what Satan's doing to come after me. And Jesus says, well, no. Before the end of the day, you're going to deny me three times. Peter was frail. I mean, the entire Catholic Church, right, says that Peter plays a pretty important role in the Catholic Church. Peter plays an important role for us. And yet, he was just human. An imperfect person that had frailties like you and I. And it didn't bother the Lord. The Lord loved him. So, you know, some of us have an issue with striving for perfection. For perfection in every part of our life. If you're that kind of person and you've been striving for perfection in your spiritual life, can I encourage you to press the relief valve on your faith walk? Can I encourage you to just take a step back and don't hold yourself to an unfair standard that God doesn't hold us to? Can you relax a little bit and let go of some of the stress or anxiety that might be in your faith walk? Maybe it's harder to do in other places of our life. Maybe work is just that stressful that it's hard to sometimes sit back and just chill out. But I don't think God wants us to be filled with stress and anxiety in our Christian walk. And yes, the Christian life is the toughest thing that we'll ever do. Especially when you've got a culture that's fighting you tooth and nail to do everything that your flesh wants you to do and to do nothing that Jesus Christ is calling us to do as his disciples. But don't compound it. Don't put undue, unnecessary stress and anxiety on yourself. A mark of the disciples was they were imperfect people like me and like you. So we've talked about the disciples were marked by being interested in spiritual things and that they responded to Jesus and that they were imperfect people like you and me. And the final mark that they were known by is love. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, we're going to read verses 11 to 18. 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 to 18. And God is calling us to be marked by love. God is calling us to let go of petty things in our lives. God is calling us not to the things that divide us, but the things that unify us. And this scripture is talking about a love that's charity. My dad always taught me that the difference between love and charity is that charity is actionable. It's love in action. And that's the kind of love that God is calling us to in this place. It says, not in word or in tongue, but in deed, in doing something for the people that we love. John 21, John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17. This is our final scripture. Now, I don't know all of what was going on between Jesus and Peter. Peter obviously needed to hear this question three times. And Jesus needed to hear Simon respond three times. And it was all about, if you love me, Peter, then do something for the people that follow me. Do things for other Christians. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. But this wasn't just for Peter, obviously, right? This was for me. This was for you. This is Jesus putting an exclamation point, accentuating the fact that he's calling us. He's calling us to not just be in love with Jesus Christ, but to love Christ to the point that we feed Christ's lambs. That we're actively involved, that part of your service and my service is about giving to those around us. And there's a lot of hurt around us. There's a lot of people that are troubled. There's a lot of people that need a word of encouragement. There's a lot of people that have more on their plate than they'll probably ever tell you. And so there's a lot of opportunity to feed the lambs of Christ. Are you known by love by those around you? Or are you known by something else? Is one of your marks sarcasm, gossip, or something else unloving? I know there's times in my life where that's what I've been known for. God's calling us to love. To love. To love. To love in a tangible way. So in closing, these are just reminders of things that you know. And we could probably talk about 1,000 different marks of the disciples. But today, I wanted to remind you that the disciples were interested in spiritual things, that they responded to the Lord Jesus, that they were imperfect people like you and me, and that they were known by love. And these are the same things that Christ is calling us to. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this love letter, the Bible, that you wrote to us, Lord, that is perfect, that you have preserved through the years and have given us in a language that we can understand to get to know who you are, Lord, to know your heart and mind, but also, Lord, to understand ourselves better. Lord, you use Scripture to expose the things that you want to change about us, to draw us closer to yourselves. And Father, you've recorded the things about a lot of different people in Scripture, good things and bad things about them, positives and negatives, and we can relate to that, Lord, because that's the kind of people we are. Thank you for showing us certain things about the disciples that we could learn about them. And in our desire to be more like you, Father, we can see the things that they did and emulate the positive things that they did. And Father, help us to go from this place and to show people Jesus in every chance that we get. We'll be careful to give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.